This is the West Concord Sermon Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you receive a blessing from today's message.
Well, here we are, 120 years at West Concord Baptist Church. It's been a long time. We've had a lot go on. Beginning in the year 1906. 1906 was an interesting year. It's probably never been something that you studied in the history books. If you took history in high school or middle school, maybe college, maybe you're a history buff, you've looked at all sorts of things, but maybe not 1906. And 1906 was rather a crowded year. Things were going on. As we look at some of the events coming out of 1906, they include the San Francisco earthquake, a massive earthquake that killed thousands, displaced tens of thousands. If that would have happened on our radar today, yes, you would have known about it. You would have heard about it. Not only that, but in 1906, the government passed the Pure Food and Drug Act, which is why you have labels and checks on your groceries. Also, the Meat Inspection Act. That's one I'm excited about. Now, we know the hamburgers and hot dogs we eat shouldn't kill us. Also, in spiritual things, the Azusa Street Revival that occurred and sped revival throughout the country. The great ship, the RMS Lusitania, had launched. The first actual radio broadcast occurred in 1906. Theodore Roosevelt was the president in 1906. The Wright brothers really began to progress in aviation. 3 years earlier, they made the first flight here in North Carolina on the coast. And in 1906, they began to make advancements. And also the publication of the novel, The Jungle, occurred. So 1906 was quite the year. And here we are 120 years later, 2026. The world has changed a bit since then. In the midst of 1906 and all the different news things and all the swirl and the calamities and the discoveries, in the quiet little town of Concord, North Carolina, an elderly gentleman who was a veteran of the United States Civil War, and most likely because of the horrors he witnessed in that conflict, gave his life to the service of Jesus Christ, became a minister of the gospel. And in late winter, early spring, he was riding his pony through the western part of Concord, North Carolina. And God impressed upon him the need for a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church in that area. And so William T. Talbert traveled about that community looking and praying and praying and looking, talking to people, until finally he settled on a spot on the corner of White and Bost Streets. And there in the spring of 1906, W.T. Talbert founded the West Concord Baptist Church in 1906. We had the privilege of worshiping on that same piece of property just last month. And here we are 120 years later. And in that time, hundreds of people have come and gone. Some of their names and some of the family's names still emblazoned on the stained glass windows of that auditorium. We have some, a handful here today, who are perhaps descended from those original congregants. As a matter of fact, the granddaughter of the very first pastor and founder of this church was a member here for many years. Some of you remember Laura Ventura. We've had 21 pastors in the last 120 years. I have been here a quarter of that 120 years. When I think of that, I need a nap. But God has been good in that time. The world has changed. I mean, we could be here all day talking about the changes, but here's the thing. West Concord has remained faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because of that, God has remained faithful to West Concord Baptist Church. And while we call this day, I love my church Sunday, and I do, I love this church. For 35 years, you have been my family. My kids were raised in this church. You're their aunts and uncles. This has been a great place. We've had our ups and downs, but every family does. But God has been faithful. And yes, we celebrate our accomplishments, our achievements, but we celebrate them in light of God's faithfulness. Because I submit to you this morning that we would not be anything without Him. We could not have achieved anything without His grace and mercy and provision. So as we celebrate our church, as we continue to love our church, it should all go back to the faithfulness of God. Take your Bibles and join me at Psalm 100. Psalm 100. As this day was approaching and I began to wonder what we're going to preach on and what we're going to talk about, I couldn't get away from this psalm because it's a celebration. As a matter of fact, Psalm 100 in the Latin Vulgate had the title Jubilate. Jubilate, Latin for song, celebrate, sing, enjoy, rejoice. It was a hymn of rejoicing. And the rejoicing is for God and His faithfulness to His people. So yes, while we celebrate, we reflect, we rejoice, we have a party, all that's great, we should do that. And we should celebrate what many hands and many hearts have done here at West Concord. We ultimately give glory and thanks to God. So that's what we're going to do right now. As a matter of fact, the very first line of this psalm in verse 1 tells us, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Interestingly enough, this same phrase is uttered by the Hebrew people when they got ready to assail the city of Jericho. As they shouted down the walls, and as they began to take possession of the land that God had promised them, they proclaimed this very same statement in celebration, in confidence in God. And listen, here at West Concord, over the last 120 years, we've had a lot of walls that have been put in front of us. You think in 120 years, what has gone on? Just 8 years after the founding of the church, World War I began. Just 11 years later, the United States entered that meat grinder of a war. Followed on the heels by the Spanish flu pandemic. We went through the COVID pandemic just a few years ago. Well, our ancestors here at West Concord went through the Spanish flu pandemic that affected the entire country. And yes, they wore masks. And sadly, thousands and thousands of people died. But West Concord survived a world war, survived a crippling pandemic. Then just 10 years later, Wall Street collapsed and the Great Depression took place in the 1930s. Again, West Concord stood strong when that wall was placed up and God knocked it down. Sadly, on the heels of the Great Depression came World War II, the rise of the Nazi terror. And many men from this church were called to fight then as well. Many families were left behind. And West Concord Baptist Church, by the grace of God, assailed that wall. And soon after that, many other conflicts, Korea, Vietnam. In the 60s, there was racial strife and tension. And then we went through economic difficulties again. President after president promising to make changes that never really took place. And of course, in our recent history, we had our own pandemic that we lived through. And now strife in the Middle East again. And those things were just on a national scale, an international scale. We don't think of all the struggles, the trials, the difficulties that the family here at this church endured and suffered. The ups and downs of being an all too human congregation. And yet, by the glory of Almighty God, here we are today. And I want to tell you that 120 years later, we have a reason to celebrate. We can make a joyful noise, a joyful shout to the Lord. I get a kick out of people who say church ought to be very calm and easy. No, man, we ought to get excited every Sunday. And that excitement ought to bleed into Monday through Saturday. We ought to celebrate. Let me tell you something. You read Revelation chapters 4 and 5. It's going to be loud in heaven. We're going to shout. We're going to sing. We're going to celebrate there. So yes, West Concord Baptist Church, you've done well. And we celebrate because God has done well through you. So yes, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 2. And first of all, he's going to talk to us about we need to celebrate with joyous excitement. We should be excited about West Concord. I am. This is a great family. This is a great place. Look what it says. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I wonder how many of y'all, as you're making your plans through the week, and you're lining things up, and you're invited to events and dinners and different things, and then you say, wait a minute, I have to go to church on Sunday. You know what we ought to be saying? I can't go because I get to go to church on Sunday. I wish we didn't have to wait a whole week, and we don't. There's Wednesday. We should get excited about this place. Serve the Lord with gladness. Whatever you do, because of your efforts and as God works with you, if Jesus tarries one day in another 120 years, there'll be another group meeting here, remembering back in 2026 and those crazy people back then, because of the efforts you and I put into the glory of God. Serve the Lord with gladness. He also says, know why with gladness. Why? Well, verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. Stop there just a second. Why do we do what we do here anyway? It's because this is not our thing. This is God's. Yes, at times we get caught up in our traditions. We get caught up in our programs. We get caught up in our plans. Sometimes we get caught up in the brand names that we have for ourselves. We're Baptists. We're West Concord. We're all of those things. But at the end of the day, this enterprise belongs to God. This is the body of Christ. And so we belong to him. This isn't just another religious club. This isn't just another group. This isn't just another church on the corner. This is God's business. Know with confidence that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Stop there and rest on that just a second. We can look at West Concord and see where we've been and where we are And we could reach our arm around and do this, pat ourselves on the back. And then, you know, I think it's okay to celebrate what you and I and others have done. But at the end of the day, God has made us what we are. Not just as a church, but you and I as individuals. And speaking of the church, you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16. He said, I will build my church. I will build my church. You know the problems we get sometimes in church work is we think it depends upon us. Now, indeed, we're to work hard. We're to serve him. It said, serve the Lord with gladness. And we are to put our hands to the work sacrificially, faithfully. But at the end of the day, we work for someone else. We serve God. Yes, in a real technical sense, I'm employed and Aaron is employed by this church, Mike and Deborah. And people say, what's it like working as a minister in the church? Well, you ever had 150 bosses? You have to wonder what that's like. But in reality, I only have one boss. Aaron only has one boss. It is God Almighty who is our boss. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We love our church because God has given it to us as a gift. God has sustained it through all of those trials and struggles. I sit back and I'm amazed at how God has brought us through. Even in my time here, in the trials and difficulties we've gone through as a church, God has kept us going. I still am amazed at our history during the pandemic, the COVID pandemic. Some of you were here, some of you weren't. We closed for a couple of months at the time, had to do things with video. And then when we did come back, we had to wear masks. We spaced the chairs and we were running some 30 to 35 every Sunday morning. Couldn't have Sunday school. Couldn't have children's ministry. Couldn't do anything. Just gather for an hour with 30 people and go home. I told you the story that during that time I was sick as well the first time. And I was afraid to call Sue Bentley and find out how we were doing financially. Because I was expecting Sue to tell me, well, we ain't got no money. Nobody's there. And then Sue, God bless her, said, oh, we're in the black. Because God's people have been faithful. And God has been faithful. And now here we are. We got through it. We did well. Yes, because of your faithfulness. But ultimately because of God's. It's just amazing what he's done. It is he who has made us, not ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So yes, today we celebrate with joyous excitement. We should. We should love our church. We should get excited about our church. It's a great place. Oh, but pastor, there are bigger churches. So? Just let me remind you, Jesus' 3+ years of ministry, his gathering, his group, his full band of followers never was any more than about 130, 131. Was Jesus a failure? No. It's not the size of the church in God, it's the size of God in the church. How big is he to us? God has been good. I'm excited about this church. I love this church. So we're rejoicing today. We're going to go ahead after we get done here and eat a big, greasy, fattening meal. And love every minute of it. And please don't stand in the line saying, pastor, that's not good for you. Or do you know how many calories is in that bean casserole? Because I love you, but I'm going to look at you. I'm going to give you the side eye. Because calories don't count in church. God miraculously changes church food into manna while you swallow it. You can look at Hezekiah 4:12 and find that. Y'all are going to go home and look. Anyway, we should celebrate. Think about God's people that this psalm was written by and to and for. Israel, they had feast days all through the year. I say this all the time. We don't party enough as God's people. Oh, we have Easter coming. and then we have Christmas. But you know what? We ought to have holidays at West Concord. We ought to have days like I Love My Church Sunday more often, because we need to celebrate and rejoice. And the reason is we are God's people. We're God's people. There's no better reason. Oh, get excited more than that. Clap like Baptists, not Pentecostals. I mean, Pentecostals, not like Baptists. Celebrate with joyful excitement and encouragement. Man, let's celebrate God. So, yes, he tells us, serve him with gladness. Why? Why do we do that? Well, because we got to. That's what mama. No, we serve him here at West Concord because we know that the Lord, he is God. It's not we who made us, but he has made us. We are his people. In verse 4, it goes on and he tells us this. Not only do we celebrate with excitement, but we're also to celebrate with grateful engagement. We're to be plugged in in some way. When we talk about being a church, we talk about church membership. And that word sadly has been diluted and polluted over the centuries. We think of church membership as a club membership. Well, I'm a member there. That's where I'm a member. They're going to bury me and marry me for free. And that's church membership. But let me tell you what church membership, some of you have been through the new members class, you know what it is. But it literally means that you are a member of the body of Christ. Now, if you're watching the news and tragically maybe somebody has been in an accident and maybe they lose an arm or a leg, what do they call it? They've been what? Dismembered. When the Bible talks about membership, especially in 1 Corinthians 12, it's talking about literally you and I are a body part in the body of Christ. We are his representatives here. We are his ambassadors. We are the living, breathing embodiment of Christ. This building that we've been graciously given is not the church. You are, and I am. And as a church member, that means you and I are the hands of the body. It means you and I are the feet of the body. We're the ears, we're the eyes, we're the tongue. Jesus Christ is the head. Just like in your body, your brain sends signals to your body to function. If the part of the body isn't functioning, you've got to go see somebody like Jenna to get help. You're sick. In other words, as a member of this church locally, as well as a member of the universal body, you as a believer should be actively engaged in work for the Lord in the church. We like to call it church work because we sort of limit it or something. But listen, this is God's work. And you don't have to have reverend in front of your name to do it. If you know Christ as Savior, you've trusted him, you are put into the body of Christ. And if you've come here, you serve in this local body. And as a member, you're not just to sit on a chair and make it comfortable and warm. You're to be somehow, some way, actively involved because you're a member. Look what he says. He goes on to say this in chapter 4. He says, enter into the gates with thanksgiving. Now, yes, here he's talking about the temple in Jerusalem, but it's still all about worship. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Today, you and I are the temple of God, according to Paul and Peter. Today, this church is the body of Christ. When we come into this place, we need to come in glad to be here, ready to go, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. You know what I love about this church? And I always have. This is a very warm, welcoming, fun place to be. You say, well, is it right to have fun? Sure it is. Because if you're having fun, that means you're enjoying something. There's nothing wrong with coming and enjoying church. I enjoy the praise and worship band. They do an amazing job. I enjoy the children. Yes, they do. Give them a hand. They do. Glory to God. I enjoy watching the children learn and play. I enjoy watching the students serve and work. I enjoy watching the senior adults gather and plan things. And I enjoy worshiping with y'all. Because when I come to church, it's always fun to chat, cut up, make fun of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Where's Marvin? Okay. Yeah. He's in the green shirt. That's helpful. Anyway. People watching online probably, it must be St. Patrick's Day at that church. But anyway, it's fun. I love to laugh. We enter into his courts with praise and thanksgiving, and we engage in the work. And then he says in verse 4, be thankful to him and bless his name. I love this church because we seem to enjoy being together. We seem to enjoy working together. And when we come in here, man, y'all sing and shout and we get excited. We bless his name. Because at the end of the day, it's not about West Concord Baptist Church. It's not about Aaron. It's not about Mike Farley or Mike Brooks. It's about Christ. And we should shout. We should sing. So yes, we should celebrate with grateful engagement. If we really say we love our church, do we mean that? Could you imagine telling somebody you love your spouse but never doing anything with them or for them? Or you love your children but never going out and engaging with them? You know, we throw that word around, but here's the thing. If we love our church, then we need to be doing everything we can possibly do to make it a great and wonderful place to the glory of God. We should be doing everything we can do to realize the mission of the church. What is the mission of the church? To glorify God by spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That is how we love our church. That's how we show gratitude to God as we engage. Because we are glorifying him. Look what it says in verse 5. For the Lord is good. You know, as you look back over 120 years, at times, it has been a rough ride for this world, for our country, for this state, for this church. But here we are. God is good. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about Simeon and Anna and how both of them waited decades to realize the hopes and dreams of their surrendered lives. You know, we talk about people who peak in high school or peak in their career. Can you imagine waiting until you're very elderly before everything you hoped and dreamed for came real? And it did for them. They celebrated. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. It may take forever for something, but God gets it done one way or the other. And then if you want to go back further, you think of Abraham, the founder of the nation of Israel, the father of faithful Jews as well as faithful Christians, according to Paul. God told him he's going to make a great nation out of him, and he will give them a land where they will live for 70 generations. And Abraham died before seeing it. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 11 talks about those heroes and heroines of our faith. And many of them died before they realized and experienced the promises God had given them. But they stayed faithful. Why? Because they knew God is good. And here we are 120 years later. God is good. And we know because we've been here 120 years, his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. So we celebrate with joyous excitement. We rejoice, and the reason is because we belong to God. He is our God. We are his people. He made us, not us. We celebrate with grateful engagement. We don't just sit back and say, bravo, we are in the mix. Grateful to God and giving glory to God. That is what it's all about. It's not going to be a long message today. I'm about to wind it up and we can go eat. But I want to leave you with that last verse in Psalm 100. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. lasting. We've experienced it for 120 years. That's why we love our church, because God loves our church. Somebody even said that on social media, a friend of mine. He said, that's really terrible to have those love your church Sundays. You should love God, not your church. That's self-centered. No, it's not. Number one, our church is the body of Christ. And God loves our church. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus refers to the church and all the saved as pearls of great price. So yes, God loves our church. And we agree with him. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. There have been many generations that have walked through the doors of our church, starting with William T. Talbert until today. And God has not let us down. And that is what we celebrate. Because he was faithful to his people in Psalm 100. He is faithful to us now. And one day, he will be returning in faithfulness to claim us and to bring us home. I love my church because God loves his church. Let's stand as we close. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed as we stand this morning. We celebrate the church here at West Concord. But more importantly, we celebrate the God who placed the church here, who carried the church through the last 120 years, and one day, maybe soon, will call the church home to him. So in celebrating the church, we celebrate our God. We glorify our God. And that's our task. It's not just to run programs. Our task is not just to do dinners and do things. All those things are good. Everything we do is good as long as it brings glory to Christ, glory to God. Because that's our goal, that's our mission, to bring glory to God by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. What is that good news? We've been studying salvation for the last few weeks in Romans chapters 1 through 3. The good news is that God loves us in spite of our sin. We're sinners, we're broken, we're fallen. Because of that, there is nothing we could ever do to earn heaven, to earn God's favor and his love. Without Christ, without God, we are hopeless. But God loved us in spite of our condition. He loves you in spite of what you've done or haven't done. He loves you in spite of who you are, where you've been. No matter what life has done, God loves you so much. And that's the gospel, because the good news is Jesus, in spite of your sin, came. God took on flesh, invaded history, walked among us, did wonderful works and things, and was perfect. But in spite of all those things, he was taken and crucified. But that was God's intention, so that he might die and take the blame for what we've done wrong. So that he might pay the death penalty that we owed for our sin. And there on the cross, he paid your sin debt, he paid my sin debt, past, present, and future. He was buried, and then 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And then after 40 days with his disciples, teaching them and preparing them, he ascended into glory. In Acts chapter 2, he left the church, his body, his representative, his ambassador. And he loves his church. And for 2,000 years, the church, through ebb and flow, has stayed strong. And for the last 120 years, West Concord Baptist Church has been a part of that story. And today, we are the direct descendants in God's plan. Do you love your church? You should. Jesus died for the church. He died for you. Would you trust him if you've never trusted him before? Fall upon him in faith, for you have no other hope, no other recourse. Fall upon him as your Savior. Place your trust in him. Not in a church, not in religion, but in Jesus. Trust him, and God will give you everlasting life. You will then become part of his church, and you will celebrate with us. And in a moment, we're going to pray, and then we're going to go back in the back and feast. Feast and enjoy being the church because of God's provision, because of God's person, because of God's power. And as we finish, my prayer is, not only do you know him, but you will get excited and celebrate, and you will engage with gratitude. And if Jesus should tarry in his return in 120 more years, our great-great-grandchildren will celebrate what God had done through us. Thank you, West Concord, for letting me have the amazing privilege of being your pastor. Thank you for being the church. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for over a century of your faithfulness and the faithfulness of the people here. Thankful for this body that exists today, for the hard work that goes into this ministry. I thank you that I have such wonderful people to minister with and minister to. And Father, it is a privilege to be here, and I love my church. But at the end of the day, Lord, it's your church, and you love your church. So Father, as we move forward in year 121, be glorified, be honored, and continue to bless the West Concord Baptist Church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For additional sermon resources and to find out who we are, visit us online at westconcordchurch.com. Thanks for listening.